I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd. Today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Any invitations and promised blessings you want to update us on?
I have been working on President Nelson's invitation to not make your prayers sound like a shopping list.
Ooh, how's that going?
Good. He just spent a lot of time talking about more meaningful prayers. And so this week I've been trying to put more effort into those, even though I pray a lot. It's not like a mission where I prayed like 80 times a day, but I still pray many times a day. And so it feels repetitive and not important. But yeah. I've been trying to make it not feel that way. So it's been good. Feeling better.
Awesome. Are you praying while you're standing there at your job with nobody buying popcorn from you?
No. Sometimes I pray to not be bored or to get through the day better.
As I was memorizing my scripture this week, Aaliyah, I thought of you and thought I should tell Aaliyah to memorize scriptures as one of her invitations. Way she has something to keep her mind occupied while she's standing there at her popcorn cart. So
there you go. I like it.
There's a suggestion for you. Awesome. Well, we also have Burke and Rivka with us today. Rivka, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good. Any invitations and promised blessings to update us on?
Not really. I mostly just did service for like a week and a half. So not awesome. Really connected to anything specific, but yeah.
Well, I love it. Perfect. And Burke, how are you today?
I'm glad I'm not the only invitation slacker. Rivka and I, solidarity.
Burke, I was reading a talk that I thought of you when I read it. Elder Anderson from October 2020. It was linked in the Come Follow Me. That's how I followed it or got to it. And he was talking about Elder Nelson, that you know, who then became President Nelson, studying the names of the Savior in the topical guide, or all the references to the Savior. And Elder Anderson was like, he's 92. Like, this changed him. This is, how could he change? He's 92. And I thought, same thing happened to Burke. So
in the process of happening when I actually remember to do it, which was this week. But yes, it has been really good. And so you would think that I'd be like, yes, let's get into it today. And then all of a sudden it's a week later. And I was like, when did I do that last? So
yeah,
such is life.
Such is life. Well, I'm glad to have you here with us today. And I have been working on the invitation to, I'm still working on the scripture one, and I've been trying to memorize one scripture a week. I have a feeling I didn't really solidify the one very well this week. I have a feeling next week I might have to revisit it. So I might not meet my goal of one a week, but I've been still reading scriptures for about a half hour every day. But the new one is going to the temple once a week, which, when I look at my calendar, feels challenging, but when we actually went this week, it just felt great. And I didn't feel like I missed out on anything or there's something else I'd rather do. And we did ceilings. We were randomly in a group with sort of an acquaintance we knew, and someone in their family was getting sealed to someone else in their family that had already passed away. So it was sort of a special ceiling, and we really enjoyed it, and I loved being there. So I guess the promised blessing I received was just greater measure of the Spirit, and I loved it. So with that, we're going to move on to our talk today. It is called Stronger and Closer Connection to God Through Multiple Covenants by Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And this is a talk he gave at a BYU devotional on March 5th of 2024, so it's hot off the press. And so hot off the press that it's not off the press. We couldn't actually read it.
No text yet.
Yeah, no text. So we're going to base this all on the notes of the O'Neills here. Because
I didn't take very many and neither did my dad.
Nope. I did listen to it once and watch it once. And so it was great. Same. And if you do go look for this talk, we recommend watching it because he does use some PowerPoint and there is a great object lesson as well. So with that, we're going to start with Aaliyah, who's going to give us a fundamental doctrine. There's nothing to scroll to, Aaliyah. So you just got to, you have no excuse. Just pluck it from your memory. Go.
Yeah. So obviously this is not a direct quote, but the general substance of his talk that is kind of echoed in the title is that we have a stronger and closer a stronger and closer connection to God as we make multiple covenants. Like as the covenants stack, our risk of distancing ourselves from God becomes lower.
And our closeness with God becomes higher.
Exactly.
Awesome. I love it. It was sort of interesting picking a fundamental doctrine without having the text there, right? It sort of changes how you approach it. Yeah. Well, good. Aaliyah, how has this been the case in your life?
Well, I think having multiple covenants to focus on and work on gives me different ways to grow closer to God. Kind of like a manual or a guidebook, like a how to be best friends with God. And it's just covenants. And then also, because God is awesome, he gives us power and his spirit as we keep those covenants, which helps us therefore be closer to him because it's his spirit.
Awesome. I love it. And have you personally felt a change in your relationship with God as you've progressed from, he actually talks about three covenants, although I think you could parse it out a little more finely than that. But for the sake of simplicity, as you went from baptism to endowment?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And some of that was because of the time that I put into them. After becoming endowed, I immediately became a temple worker. And so I just spent so much time thinking about and helping others make those same covenants. And that definitely made a huge impact on my life.
Awesome. All right. If I can take a small tangent, I was ward mission leader for a while in our last ward, not for a while, for 3.5 years. And I loved it. And I cannot tell you how many missionaries came through that said they did not want to get married. And they were worried about it. And they, you know, maybe their parents didn't have a good relationship or whatever the case may be. And I often talk to them about the irony of trying to go around getting everybody to enter into covenants with God through baptism and not being willing to progress in their own covenant relationship and achieve the most, you know, the crowning covenant and crowning ordinance of salvation, which is the sealing. So anyways, yeah, I think we think of baptism and endowment, but he goes on and talks about how sealing is really the final covenant here. All right, let's go on to Rivka, who I feel like I should have asked for Rivka's notes and Burke's notes here, but I'm sure they are going to lead the way here with some great quotes. So Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Okay, here's a quote. This is a quote from him. He said, "The covenants God established are based on eternal, unchanging law. There is only one way to return to live with God, and it's designated as the covenant path. The covenant path is a series of covenants through which we come unto Christ and connect with him and our Heavenly Father." So one, I love that very clear definition of the covenant path, which is a term that we've, you know, has become, I don't know, popularized in the last several years. Is that a good way to say that? I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
But I like that. A series of covenants through which we come unto Christ and connect with him and our Heavenly Father. And I love the way he has outlined this talk. That's all I'll say right now. But yeah.
Okay. Great. Awesome. Well, we'll come back a little bit more into the structure and substance of the talk here. But there's one way, and it's through the covenant path. And And that is laid down by the Savior and the way we gain salvation, exaltation, and our relationship with him, all those things. So,
yep.
All right, Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
All right. So I agree with all that has been said, and I'm going to add his definition of a covenant. He says, a covenant is a pledge that we should prepare for, clearly understand, and absolutely honor.
I love it.
Yeah, and just before that, he says, making and keeping covenants is how we reconcile ourselves to God. And that statement, I think, is very interesting in that I believe a lot of Christianity doesn't believe we do reconcile ourselves, that is what the atonement does. But very clearly, there is also work that is required of us. So this is that same question and conversation about faith or works. And in this case, the answer is yes.
Right, both.
Yeah.
We are reconciled and he reconciles us, right?
Yeah. And you could, I think you could even say making keeping covenants is how we reconcile ourselves to Jesus Christ. Because he is now the judge.
So. Right. Okay. I like it. Well, Burke, I'm going to stick with you because he starts out with discussing cardiovascular risk factors.
Indeed.
And I think you're highly qualified to recap that section of the talk for us.
You know, interestingly, that's the one part of the talk I didn't take very good notes on, but really the point of it is from a statistical standpoint, and he does bring up statistics as well, risk factors increase the likelihood that something will happen. He brings up his own risk factors that he has that he can't change for cardiovascular disease, like his age, his family history, and then he brings up a bunch of things that he does work on, you know, his level of health, his blood pressure, his cholesterol, those kinds of things. But even if you have zero risk factors on the list, you can still have a heart attack. And right. even if you have all the risk factors, you're more likely to have a heart attack, but you don't know when, and you still may not. So right. it's more like leaning one direction versus another.
Right. I love it. That's a very succinct recap of understanding risks. So thank you for that. So maybe now we'll go back to Rivka. And Rivka, maybe now you can tell us a little bit. I don't know if you want to start with the object lesson or talk a little bit about the structure. Where do you want to go from here?
Sure. Well, he asks a really, I think, his central question. Why are multiple covenants needed?
Yes.
And then he says they are sequential, they're additive, and they're synergistic. So, meaning they happen in a specific order. The blessings are compounded as you add on to them, and then they work all together to produce a greater outcome. So the object lesson was exercise bands. He had his wife and three volunteers come up, and she wrapped exercise bands around their wrist. And for the first one, she just wrapped it once. For the second one, she wrapped it twice. For the third one, she wrapped it three times. And then invited them to try to pull their hands apart from each other.
Yeah, so the exercise bands were put on kind of like handcuffs.
Right.
Yes. Thanks. Yeah, so he invited them to try to pull their hands apart from each other and indicating that one hand would be God and one hand would be us. And so with each wrapping, that became more difficult. And then he invited them to try to pull one of their hands out to disconnect from that. And that also became increasingly difficult. So that was the object lesson. And then he breaks down, like you said, he broke the covenants that we made. And he said there's more, like the endowment has five and stuff, but he broke it down into three: baptism, endowment, and sealing. And then he structured this thing on how they all add and work together. So my favorite, I took a screenshot of it, of his little graph that has the sealing and the endowment and baptism. And he starts out with the three covenants of baptism and then puts the endowment and like which ones connect with those three basic baptismal covenants and enhance it. And then the sealing, the same thing. So it's just really fascinating. A fascinating visual. I appreciated it so much because I came out of this talk having an even more structured understanding of how covenants work.
Yeah. And it was like a table.
Yes.
And on this PowerPoint, it was very helpful visually to see all that. Is there, since you have the screenshot, Rivka, is mm-hmm. there any of those details from those connections that you want to highlight for us?
Well, the three basic covenants that he talks about that we make at baptism are: one, to serve God; two, to keep God's commandments; and then three, take upon us the name of Jesus Christ.
I'm gonna pause right there.
Yeah.
Because if you ask the general membership of the church what their baptismal covenant is, I feel like more than half of people, the first thing they would say is mourn with those that mourn.
Yeah. Wasn't yeah. the comment yeah. on that so fascinating? That was one of the parts where I like had to hit pause and be like, oh, because I have thought about it like that.
Yeah.
But this is what he said. He said, the other facets that are frequently associated with the baptismal covenant, that we bear one another's burdens, mourn for those that mourn, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, are fruits of making the covenant rather than part of the actual covenant. And that, like, that changed the way that I looked at this, because I've said that too. Like, these are the things that we covenant to do. But what he's saying is, we covenant to serve God, we covenant to keep his commandments, we covenant to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. And as we keep those covenants, we will be someone who mourns with those that mourn and comfort those that stand in need of comfort.
I love it.
Yeah.
So our covenant, our baptismal covenant helps us become the kind of person that does those other things.
Yeah. Which is like Jesus Christ.
Awesome. And hopefully, as you read those three things, people heard echoes of the sacrament prayer, right? Because
yes.
that's the renewal of our covenant, mm-hmm. our baptismal covenant. And the sacrament prayer doesn't say, you know, mourn with those that mourn and comfort those in need of comfort, right? So just one mm-hmm. more time, tell us the three things, Rivka.
Yep. To serve God, keep God's commandments, and take upon us the name of Jesus Christ.
Awesome. Okay, so I sort of interrupted your train of thought there because I thought that was a really important point to review exactly the baptism covenant. So you can keep going with the connections.
Well, so then on the table with the endowment, he breaks the endowment on the table down into the five covenants we make: obedience, sacrifice, the law of the gospel of Jesus Christ, chastity, and consecration. And then he talks about, or he lists out, which of those three baptismal covenants, these different covenants help us to increase and refine. Does that make sense? So like obedience under keep God's commandments, sacrifice, all three of them. Serve God, keep God's commandments, take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. The law of the gospel, all three. Chastity is keeping God's commandments, and the consecration in serving God and taking on us the name of Jesus Christ. This is a lot of information. Just like go look at the, maybe I'll send you the screenshot and we can put it on our social media.
Are we, Aaliyah, are we still using social media?
Yeah, we are. Okay. Just not very well.
Okay, no. Good. Well,
and then the ceiling is all three. So I think really the whole point of this is he's showing how at baptism we enter onto a covenant path, and we have these three things we're keeping. And then as we continue to make covenants, they enhance and they flesh out and make more for us the ability to keep those covenants and the blessings that come from them. So it's all the same, like it's the same covenants, but more. This is what he's saying. Like, they're sequential, they're additive. Even though it's the same basic thing, but you're adding on facets and you're adding in power that you get as you make the covenants, and then they become synergistic to where ultimately we become like Jesus Christ, who really is just like God the Father. So we become like our heavenly parents.
Great. That was a fantastic summary of the structure and the content and those connections. So Rivka, in your life, similar question to what I asked Aaliyah, how have those covenants for you been additive and synergistic?
I'm trying to think of some, like, I don't know, is there a good example? I could just be like, because they are. I don't know. I can see it. I was baptized when I was 8, and my understanding was basic, But I think regardless of what age you're baptized at, your understanding is basic. Like, I will try to serve God and I will keep his commandments and I'm taking on his name, whatever that means, because I didn't really understand that at age 8.
Sure.
And then as I continued to learn and study and then chose to enter into other covenants, then I go to the temple repeatedly where we are taught and then entered into a sealing. So now Burke and I are working on them individually, but together toward a thing. I continue to learn. My understanding has increased. And I am seeing the blessings over time that come from trying to keep, from making and then trying to keep these covenants. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I can't, like, it's like such a grand arc for me, you know, because it's, but.
Manageable, yeah. Grandeur.
Manageable grandeur. But the point is, this actually works. How's that? Like,
yes.
Like, yes. If you want increased understanding and you want increased power from God, this is how you get it. This is it. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take that thought and bring it back to Burke. So how does that tie into his discussion of risk factors, Burke? So we started with the cardiovascular. What does that mean to us spiritually?
You know, it's interesting because when you think the word risk factor, you think that there are things that will contribute to something you don't want to happen. But right. In this case, he's mostly talking about the risk factor being the risk is you will get closer to God. So we don't usually think about risk that way, although it works both directions. And so, yeah, each of these things you do leans you closer to reconciliation. So,
okay. And that was emphasized by his object lesson, where the third, you know, person up there, she had, you know, the bands wrapped around her arms 3 times and they were very tightly pressed together and she could barely, you know, pull them apart. So,
well, and I guess if you view getting closer to God and Jesus Christ as something you don't want, then by all means, avoid these risk factors.
Right. This makes sort of approaches it from the inverse way we normally think about it. That's very interesting. Okay. Awesome. Well, that was a really great recap there. So let's go back to Aaliyah. Aaliyah, we haven't forgotten about you. You've been just chilling. So that was sort of the structure. Did you have anything to add to what Rivka said? And then if not, any new parts of the talk that you wanted to highlight?
Well, she mentioned the idea of covenants being additive and synergetic, which he, you know,
synergistic.
Synergistic. Yep. Sorry. Yep.
No worries.
And I love the idea of synergy.
Synergetic sounds really cool, though, because then it... I actually like that word. It's nice. I'm going to start using it.
I just invented a new word. You're welcome. but yeah, so synergy is something I've experienced in many different ways in my life. And it's just the coolest idea because it just breaks math. And I don't really like math. So it's like 1 + 1 = 2, right? In real life. But with synergy, 1 + 1 = eternal exaltation instead. And like that doesn't make sense, but it doesn't need to. And with God, every time we make and keep a covenant with him, it theoretically should be like, you know, me plus covenant equals X, but it's actually X plus infinity or whatever, because God is involved. And so it's this really cool idea of getting more out than anyone is putting in.
Awesome. That equation was a bit shaky, but I think we get your point.
The point is that it's shaky. That's the point.
That sounded like every math class I've ever been in. So I'm right with you there, Aaliyah.
I think I nailed it.
You nailed it. back when Aaliyah was in 8th grade, she homeschooled. And her mother did not want to teach her the math and didn't really remember from her days. And so it was left to me. And so we had lots of moments where I was like, I don't know how you do it, Aaliyah. You just do it. You just X plus Y equals Z. Like, it just makes sense.
It did not make sense.
It did not make sense.
That also sounds like every math class I've ever been in.
Yeah.
But that's what Rivka was saying, right? Like, it just, the math it doesn't, don't try to figure it out. It just makes sense. You plus the Lord equals infinity, because the Lord is infinity. So fantastic. Okay, well, let's go back to Burke. Any other parts of the talk you wanted to highlight, Burke?
Oh, man. I like that I'll just go through very quickly with the endowment covenants. He says what each of them actually means, which I thought was really helpful. So with the law of obedience, he says that means we strive to keep Heavenly Father's commandments. Okay, that makes sense. The law of sacrifice is sacrificing to support the Lord's work and to repent with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I don't know if I ever thought about the law of sacrifice in that way before. You're sacrificing your pride.
Elder Maxwell would agree wholeheartedly with that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The law of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, we do this in part by living the doctrine of Christ. This includes making covenants with God, receiving the ordinances of salvation and exaltation, and keeping those covenants throughout our lives. It includes striving to live the two great commandments to love God and neighbor. Number four, keeping God's law of chastity, abstaining from sexual relations outside of legal marriage between a man and a woman. He says a lot more about that, which I didn't take notes on, and we're going to spend a lot of time here. And then five, law of consecration. We dedicate ourselves and everything the Lord blesses us with to build up his church. So I just thought it was really nice to have an explanation of what we're expected to do for each of those laws.
Yeah, it was very clear and straightforward. I loved that. So thanks for taking notes on it and sharing it. Okay, well, I think at this point we can move on to invitations and promises. So we'll go Aaliyah first, then Rivka, then Burke. So Aaliyah, what invitation did you remember from this talk?
There was one that was less of an invitation, more of a warning, and I did actually write this down word for word. So
Ooh.
He says, if you choose to miss sacrament meeting when you could have attended, you place yourself in spiritual jeopardy.
Yes. Tell us why you liked that.
Because it's Bednar Index level something. Level high. I don't know. I think we've heard a lot about keeping the Sabbath day holy over the years because it's so important. And he mentions that in this talk, I think, about how essential it is to your covenant relationship with God. So if we're choosing to miss it when we could have attended, it's essentially adding a risk factor for leaving, like distancing ourselves from God.
Yeah, I like it. And I love there's two ways to go about teaching principles like this, right? One is like President Nelson's talk where he says, well, the Sabbath day, how do we honor God on the Sabbath day? And that, answers the question for us. But sometimes it's also nice to just have a straightforward, like, if you don't go to sacrament meeting, that's not the right choice. I appreciated Elder Renlund's clarity on that. So, all right, Rivka, what invitation and promise blessing did you find?
Well, the other thing that I have written out is kind of what he, during his discussion about the sealing ordinance, and he's talking about the sealing ordinance specifically. Oh, actually, in the first part, he's not. He said, we are not forced or compelled in any way to stay in a covenantal relationship with God, even after we make these covenants. And then speaking specifically of the sealing, he says, I believe it's misleading to think one is bound to the other for eternity. They're not enslaved, coerced, shackled, or under compulsion. Rather, they share and experience the covenant together. Agency continues to be an overriding component of eternal marriage. No one will be forced to live in a marriage they don't choose or accept, even after the temple sealing. So he goes through this whole thing and makes it really clear, because sometimes I think this can be misunderstood, especially by those who are not of our faith, that these covenants that we enter into them voluntarily and we stay in them voluntarily. And then he says this, which I really love. He said, God established multiple covenants to bless us, not condemn us. So I think the general invitation here is enter into a covenant relationship with God. That's what he wants so much. And then the reason he wants that for us is so that he can bless us. That's his only that's his only concern in this, is that he can bless us. He doesn't do it to rule or make us captives. That's Satan's whole plan. He wants to make us captive. God wants to free us and to give us power and to bless us.
Okay. Thank you. So make and keep covenants to receive blessings from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never really thought of it that way, but I have talked to people who feel those covenants are restrictive, you know, mm-hmm. they, instead of freeing. And I'm not sure how to go about changing that in your own life if you feel that way, but all I can say is that in my life, the closer I have been to the Lord, the freer I have been. That is for sure. So
yeah,
compared to the kinds of binding that Satan does, as you sort of implied there, like addictions, you know, those absolutely take over your life and in many ways take away your free agency. So better to give it to the Lord and have it rather than have it taken from you by Satan. So, all right, Burke, let's finish off with you. Any other invitation and promise from this talk?
All right. So I'm going to bring up a couple of comments here that are from little different spots, but one we kind of talked about. He said, risk factors are not determinative. And then later he said, anything that is unfair in life can and will be made right through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And he actually makes invitations here that are specific to three groups of people. So it's people who are baptized but not endowed. And then people who are endowed but not sealed, and then people who have made all of those covenants. And I'm just going to read the invitation for those who are sealed. He says, remember, it's a milestone, not a bookend. And here's the things he invites us to do. Press forward and focus on the covenants you've made. Conscientiously partake of the sacrament, worship in the temple, and do family history work. Seek to become a better spouse by acquiring Christ-like attributes. Become the spouse your spouse deserves. And if you're blessed to be a parent, become the parent your children deserve. And then the blessing is drawing closer to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and strengthening your covenantal bonds with them, which is the blessing for all of them.
Okay, awesome. The only comment I had on that, Burke, is the unchristlike part of me had a brief thought when he said, what kind of parent my children deserve, about, well, some days it feels like they don't deserve a very good parent.
Well, I think of it kind of like someone said to me years ago in the practice of anesthesia, and they said, good surgeons deserve a good anesthesiologist, and poor surgeons require one. But either way, you have to be a good anesthesiologist.
There you go. I love that. That's a much better way to think about it. And I knew in the instant I had that thought, it was not very Christ-like. Of course, Leah, that's not you. You always deserve the best of parents.
Sorry, Lawson.
Ouch.
Just the general idea. When you're a parent, some days you always love your kids, but some days you don't like them, and it can be hard. But all right. Well, that's the end of that talk. The next one we're going to discuss in our sort of greatest hits section here is None Were With Him by Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles from April of 2009. And this is a focus on Easter for us. So as we lead up to Easter and to General Conference. So in the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, Aaliyah is going to tell you how.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message or comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
All right. So thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.